Okay, you're rolling.
Yeah, I can see that because I can see it right there on the monitor.
What do you mean?
On the monitor, right in front of you, the screen right in front of you.
What do you mean? I hear monitor screen.
No, monitor screen. The screen right in front of you.
You mean the TV?
Yeah, okay, yes, the TV right in front. There, see the counter?
Oh, look at the numbers going. Oh, hey, that's pretty cool. So if I hit stop,
no, don't
hit
stop. Would you?
No, I haven't just
stop.
And then you go again.
Okay, would you stop?
Ha look, ha! Look at now I hit stop again.
No, no, don't do.
No, okay, now it's going again.
Please.
I like seeing the buttons and the numbers and everything going all on the TV there.
Screen.
Whatever.
Okay. We're rolling. It's a big, you know, I just want to get on with the show here, Hank, because we have the part two of the time with my friend Tom Wilson.
He's a good actor because, you know, he played a bully guy, but he's a sweetheart of a guy. When I see him, I give him a big hug.
Well, as you should, because Tom Wilson is a sweetheart of a guy. He is. I think that's probably one of the things that is the most, you know, it is the most fantastic as far as his ability as an actor, and it's the most tragic as his ability as a human being. He's the sweetest guy in the world. In his movie that he made, his documentary, Humbly Super Famous, you will see that he talks about, and in his autobiography, his book, his memoir, The Masked Man, if you buy it or you listen to it for free on his YouTube channel even, he tells the stories of when he was young, he was bullied. He wasn't the bully, he was bullied. So to play this famous bully and all that was... Anyways, Tom and I had a great time talking. We've been friends for many years. He asked to come on my podcast, which I thought was really nice. I never want to ask my friends to come on my podcast. I mean, mainly because it's called Talking to Myself. By the way, welcome. You're listening to Talking to Myself. We should have like an introduction and everything and just get, but instead we're just rolling right into it. Hank, the engineer here, is hitting the buttons and starting and stuff.
You want me to hit the,
no, don't hitting the buttons again. Just leave it. Okay, please. This is part two. Today is part two of the James Arnold Taylor podcast interview with Tom Wilson, the famous actor, writer, producer, director, author, artist, entrepreneur, philanthropist. I don't know what he is. He's raconteur, every name you could come up with, and all around fantastic human being. Part two. So if you were with us last week when we started, if not, go back and listen to part one before you listen to part two, because we're coming in the middle of a conversation we're having about his life and kind of being thrown into this as this actor that just took a job. And then the next thing you know, the movie that he takes a job in that is like his first big movie, it becomes one of the biggest movies on the planet and bigger than anything he can contain. And then instead of getting to just be a character actor as he is, he's kind of typecast as this character of Biff from Back to the Future. And then his life changes in a way that he can't even just get like regular acting jobs because people can't see past what he played in the movie because the movie meant so much to so many people, especially within this time frame, which on one hand is beautiful and on the other hand is tragic because he's just a good guy that wants to provide a living for his family and all of that and be seen as a chameleon as an actor, which he is. He was a chameleon within the movies Back to the Future, playing Buford and Biff and all these characters that are all these various ranges of different people. And then he was interacting with himself on screen, which is fantastic and hard to do within itself. And the technology was new at the time. So for you now, part two of my interview with Tom Wilson on the James Arnold Taylor podcast, talking to myself, but at this time I'm talking to my friend, Tom Wilson. Let's get right into it. He was just saying how he was thrust into this world that was kind of bigger than himself and beyond himself. And that's where we pick it up. Go ahead and hit play on that, Hank.
What, this button?
Yes, just hit the big button right there.
All right, geez, here we go.
As we're talking about this, as I'm thinking about this, you know, and of course, you know, you and I are both friends with Mark Hamill. And Mark Hamill is kind of, he was kind of put in that same kind of position of a character bigger than him, but very different still. William Shatner, same thing. But then you touch on in your film, Adam West. And I think that was just a beautiful story. I'll save that for people watching it. But there's only literally a handful of people on the planet, Tom, that are in a position that you're in that. And that's not to puff you up or anything. I'm just stating a fact. There's only so many movies that have hit in the way that they did to where now it's so polarized, it's the best and the worst thing that can happen to somebody.
It is. I think as fame gets more and more special,
yes.
Taylor Swift,
yeah.
The Kardashians, it doesn't even matter what you do. The important thing is just to be famous.
Yes, yes.
So I don't think that I've ever seen any psychological writing or study of what happens to that person when that big thing happens. When you get hit by the tsunami of everyone's eyes and attention around you changing.
Yeah.
And begin looking at you and behaving around you completely differently. Like, what happens to that person?
But very specifically too, and if you don't mind me touching on this, the fact that you didn't play the hero, right?
Right.
You weren't Marty, you were the bad guy. You were the villain. You were the, you know.
Right. So for decades, James, I would go to a barbecue at someone's house at, you know, oh, it's a friend and she's got a, and I meet cousin Gina, you know, around the barbecue and I have my hot dog and she just says, and I say, hi, I'm, and she says, I hate you.
Before you can even say anything.
And I say, I hate you. I say, yeah, I'm Tom. I'm Carolyn's husband. Yes, but I hate you. So you're forced into that. Well, but you know, it's a movie, right? I mean, how many times, James, in my life, 70 trillion times.
Yeah.
I said, you know, it's pretend. We actually had snacks on a table that were right, you know, only a few feet away.
Yeah. When,
and they say, cut. And then we go have snacks together and hang out. And they say, I don't care. I hate you.
Very different. Now, again, my celebrity, my whatever, much smaller, because, you know, I'm a voice actor primarily, and this is what I do. But I've worked in the biggest franchise in the world, Star Wars. And I play a pretty well-known character, Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I have this little world that I get to kind of live in that. But it's very different because people don't come up and say, I hate you. They say, oh, I love Obi-Wan. Say hello there. Say the line. Do this or whatever. And so generally, a little picture, you smile, maybe you sign a thing. And then that's it. But you, it's an entirely different thing. I mean, from getting stopped at airports by security to whatever.
When I start talking about it, it can easily begin to sound like I'm complaining about
right.
it. I'm not. I wear big boy pants. I understand. I'm just pointing these things out.
It's just making awareness to everybody, I think,
that
really.
When Michael J. Fox, when we're all together and we're walking, we're going somewhere.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox is coming, and they say, we love you, Michael.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd is coming, and they say, Doc, we love you. Yeah. I became a doctor because I studied science because of you. You know?
Yeah.
And I walk by, and they go, Butthead, punch my nephew. Butthead, look at him, stupid. So it's the nightmare of every 10th grader, and if we were really honest with ourselves, there's a little bit of a 10th grader in the heart of each of us.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, here's the thing. You know, we've been friends, like I say, for over 20 years, and very, very rarely do we ever talk about Back to the Future because, one, we're actors, we're artists, we're entertainers, we get it. You know, it's just like with Mark. I don't talk about Star Wars with Mark, even though we worked in Star Wars together, right? But the one thing I do remember one time saying, I said to you, we showed Lydia, my daughter, Back to the Future over the weekend. We watched the movies. And for her, it was like, that's King Joker Tom. That's what she calls you, King Joker Tom. And she's Princess Lydia. And so it was reverse for her because she's known you her whole life. And then she sees this character and she was able to go, oh, he's playing that character. And it was, but the nice thing was, is I was able to say to you finally, you know, aside of everything, you're tremendous in these movies. Your acting is tremendous in these films. Number three is so great. And the stuff you got to learn to do and all that, we've talked a little bit about that before on shows and stuff, but I've always loved you as an actor. I loved you because I really, even though I, yes, of course, saw you in Back to the Future, you were on the Tonight Show. Tonight Show was like the biggest thing on the planet to me. Johnny Carson. You were on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, Tom. That's amazing. And you were funny and you had a tuba and you did these things that me as this young man wanting to be a stand-up comic, you broke barriers in that for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing. So, you know, I rarely get to say that and kiss. I kiss up with you all the time, of course, but I rarely get to say you were tremendous in those. And I thank you for your performance in him because it was great.
Thank you, James.
Yeah.
The best part of the whole thing, the best part of the whole thing as an artist.
Yeah.
Because you work hard, and I was a young actor in New York City, and you're trying to do well, and just like that the Field of Dreams, you know,
yeah.
where the guys get a shot at baseball,
yeah.
They just wanted to know that they were good, you know.
Yeah.
Like he calls out to that Burt Lancaster, "Hey rookie, you were good," you know, and that's
yeah.
So many guys. You come into this big arena,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you just want to know. And the best part of it is to this day, I mean, 2024,
yeah.
and I'll meet some actor, a very prominent actor,
mm-hmm.
very popular and everything, and they can't not say it,
yeah.
you know? They eventually say, you know, Tom, I know you're going to hate me for saying this. And I said, it's okay. But my gosh, those things, you know, it just meant so much to people. And of course, and the professional actor saying, "What a job! What a thing!" Which is very gratifying because, James,
yeah.
for 35 years,
yeah.
it was like I wasn't an actor in it; I was the character, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, now 38 years later, maybe
yeah.
started a couple years ago.
Yeah,
people online sort of going, "Wait a minute."
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing was a performance.
Well, and this was way before it was easy to digitally put another version of you in. You were having conversations with you on with split screen, and that was low res technology back then. And you were
right,
doing
right.
it in a way that was flawless, and so much of it was on you in that because of your characters talking to themselves. That's big stuff.
I thank you, my friend. I really do. I'm very glad that though I didn't win the World Series every year and become one of those guys.
Yeah.
I think, as I say, look, every professional wants to know that, like, I put on the big boy uniform and went into the big stadium
yeah.
and I did just fine.
Yeah.
I did just fine.
That's it.
You know, I hit a home run in the World Series, and
really
a lot of
did.
People don't know my name, but hey, I remember when that ball went over the fence.
Yeah. Well, it broke a lot of ground, too, in that you guys were the first movie to do the sequels back-to-back, right? It was all consecutive.
It was the first movie to do that. Yeah, to try to, the studio save money and, yeah, and do the second one, and then just like a week break or 2 weeks for just makeup tests and all that, you know, working but not
yeah.
shooting
yeah.
and then getting ready to do the cowboy stuff and then going into the third one right away.
And getting to be a cowboy had to be fun.
The best part of the movies is, you know, they say, well, Tom, the third one, we're going to do a Western.
Yeah.
You're going to have to learn how to ride a horse. I said, I'm from Philadelphia. I ride the subway. They say, well, we're going to have this guy, Corky Randall,
yeah.
teach you how to ride. Now, Corky was a stunt rider with John Wayne. Corky taught the great Western director, John Ford,
yeah.
how to ride a horse.
Amazing.
He was a stunt rider, a cowboy, and he taught me how to ride. I learned how to quick draw and shoot the gun and spin the gun from a guy
yep.
named Arvo Ojala, who was one of the historic Hollywood quick draw guys who was on all the Western movies, the TV shows. So
yeah.
I learned from him. Ben Scott, my stunt double, he taught me how to gallop on the horse and spin the rope above my head,
man,
and everything. So I learned all these cowboy skills. And then in the movie were historic actors, Dub Taylor,
mm-hmm.
Pat Buttram,
yep.
Harry Carey Jr., these guys from John Wayne movies.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So it was great.
It's nice
to
reflect
do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Zemeckis had showed me. I mean, I had seen it before, but I I didn't remember it very well. The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, great John Ford Western, Lee Marvin, John Wayne, and Robert Zemeckis. Now, you know, don't do an impression of him, but I want you to watch Lee Marvin.
Yeah.
And how he moves, how he acts in this Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, because it would be great if you could, you know, base something on that. You know, okay, all right, well, okay. So I watched the movie a number of times. Mm-hmm. I used, it's called a quirt, the short whip in your right hand that you use on a horse. So so Lee Marvin used one in The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, so I used one as Buford Mad Dog Tannen. And the first day I came in and I'm doing this, anyway, Dub Taylor and Pat Buttram and Harry Carey Jr., the historic actors of the West, they were over in a table in the saloon. Mm-hmm. And they're watching this big scene, and I'd go over it a number of times. You know, you ain't Seamus McFly, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And Pat Buttram, he had a voice that was one of those Western, old Western voices that it got him a lot of work in show business.
Yep.
And he calls me over to the table. He goes, Tom, we've been talking a lot, and well, you kind of remind us of Lee Marvin.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. And you did. I mean, once you said that, I thought, oh my gosh, you're right. There absolutely was that. That tone.
Well, I based my, how about this? I based my lower jaw on Lee Marvin.
Yes. Yes.
Because there's only, you know, and very few people pick that up.
How many people didn't recognize you when you were Buford?
A lot of people thought I'm not in the movie.
Yeah. Because I can look at pictures of that and go, boy, I don't see Tom in that. You know,
it was a great compliment. My friend Steve, is a screenwriter, a director, and he went to see the movie. And halfway through the movie, he says he's thinking, "Is Tom not in this one?" Just like, and then I come onto the screen, and I've already been on the several scenes.
Yeah,
but it like just hits him like a wave in the theater. Like, oh my gosh, that's Tom.
Yeah.
It was great. It was fun.
Oh, that is great. So now, you know, jump cut decades, and we're doing Comic-Cons, you're doing Comic-Cons. There is this kind of nostalgia, you know, for everybody, and that's wonderful. But how is it for you to then now be with everybody again? We find, you know, with Clone Wars that it's we're this little family, and you, so is it kind of nice that you go, okay, here's a group of people that experienced something that only us experienced, and so we get to see each other and talk every once in a while.
I didn't do very much of this nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
For 30 years.
Yeah.
More than 30 years. I didn't do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Michael was going out. Michael J. Fox and Chris Lloyd was going out, and Leah, and it was sort of like, you know, and they were like, well, we're having a good time out here. It'd be great for you to come. You don't have to, but whatever.
Yeah.
So I just decided to try it. Yeah. I'll just try it. Honestly, I didn't know what is expected of you at these things.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what happened, you know? So I had a meeting with the agent who handles this sort of thing, with Michael and Chris and everybody. Yeah. And I said, can I have lunch with you? And we'll have a burrito. And I'll just say like, okay, what do you do?
Yeah.
Where am I taken? What is expected of me? Well, you go to a table and you meet people and you sign pictures, and then you do, we call it a panel, where you ask, you know, do Q&A sort of things.
Right.
And we do these photo ops where people pose for a picture with you. Okay, so I tried it. Anyway, the great part of Back to the Future is that Michael and Chris and Leah and I get along great.
Yeah.
We love each other. We always have.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful to see them and to hang out with them. The people are wonderful, respectful. They love the movies.
Yep.
I don't do it very frequently now. I mean, as people come up to me and say, we don't see you at much, I say, well, this is sort of a Sasquatch sighting.
Yeah.
So I sort of move through the woods, you know, swinging my arms, take a video, because then I'm going to go. And it's not because I don't love the cast or the people.
Right.
It's because I'm just trying to continue to move forward as an artist and to make things and to do things like that.
Yeah.
I call them Beatles reunions. You know, I say, oh, we're going out with the Beatles again.
Yeah.
And the fact is, when I go out on a Beatles reunion, I'm Ringo, you know?
Not to me.
But here at my house, here when I'm doing my work in my life, I'm Paul.
Yes. So now for all of the young people listening, we're talking about the Beatles. It's Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, the
yes.
bass player, lead singer, writer of all the Beatles songs, and then the drummer is Ringo Starr. There's maybe two people that don't know that. I'm guessing most
all
people
right.
know that. But I thought
you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, because I'm the Ringo to our group. You know, Matt Lanter, you can't beat hunky Matt Lanter as Anakin Skywalker. And Ashley Eckstein is a power within herself, her superstar stuff. And then Dee Bradley Baker as all of the clones. And then I'm just Obi-Wan in the back going with my Ringo accent. In fact, I remember one director actually said when I was voicing Obi-Wan for a thing, she said, Ringo it up a little bit more. So I'm just doing that look, John, you know.
Yeah.
But I get it.
It's great.
Yep.
We'll go out to dinner. Well, you should see the jaws of people drop to the ground.
Yeah.
When me, Chris, Leah, and Michael go out to dinner,
yeah.
just one night in Chicago, you uh-huh. know, oh, let's go out and get something to eat. And we go in and people are like, hamana, hamana, hamana.
Yeah.
So we have a great time together. They're fabulous people, and yeah. I love them. And I do it periodically,
yeah.
but not a lot.
Okay. It is a lot of energy to expel to do all of those shows. And we love doing them, and we love meeting people, and it's all lovely, but it is a lot. Now, I was at one in Orlando this last... Well, we were at it together. And I got home, and I was sick for 3.5 weeks. And, you know, and it's just because...
You and me both, James,
yeah.
because not... putting us on any pedestal,
no.
but we are, the fact remains, we're regular guys
yeah.
who are trying to show people a good time.
Exactly.
Who know that when you come out to one of those things, one of those fan conventions,
yep.
it's expensive to get the ticket, and it's expensive to park, and yep. it's difficult to get into the arena, and it's all of those things. And then you get in a line in order to meet some dude like me,
yeah.
you know, not a huge deal. I understand that you know me from your movie screen and everything, but hey, we got to try to make people happy.
Yeah.
That's the best we can do. Use our energy to try to have fun
yeah.
and have them have a good time.
Yeah, that's very true. Hey, so here's a question. I don't know if I've ever asked you this, but I mean, you are an accomplished actor. You're an accomplished artist. Your paintings are wonderful. I own several of your paintings. They're in my home. I look at them daily, and they make me smile. They bring joy to my life.
My high school had the architecture was unusual in that it had sort of an arm of it that was the fine arts,
ah. you know,
like theater and visual art, painting and all of those, and music.
Yeah.
And I just stayed over there and cut everything else.
Yeah. Well, it paid well, and yeah, music. It
didn't pay off for figuring out the tip at the end of a dinner.
No,
but
there's an app for that though.
Exactly. Well, that's my thing. That's what I said in high school. I either I live under a bridge, which is still a possibility, or I'll be able to hire people to do math for me.
Yeah. No, you and me both. So I was saying. So you're an actor. You're an artist, you're an author. You wrote a tremendous book. I hope people would read the book and get the book. It's The Masked Man. It is a brilliant memoir. You are so many talented things. Now you're a filmmaker. Now you've been a documentary filmmaker. Is there anything you haven't done in your life that you would still like to do? I know that's a classic Barbara Walters question, but I'm curious about it because, you know, you inspire me in so many ways.
I want to be a dancer. First, when there's nothing
okay.
but a slum of Andre.
Oh boy, I shouldn't have asked. I can't pay for
okay.
the rights for that. Don't sing that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay, cut that out. I've been both very fortunate
yeah.
in being able to follow a number of paths in the arts,
yep.
which were fruitful and a wonderful adventure.
Mm-hmm.
But I go back to one of my early points, James.
Yeah.
I was scrambling around trying to make money to pay for food.
Right.
You know, so it's showbiz. As I joke about showbiz a lot because
yeah.
it is showbiz. If tap dancing comes back, I have to buy those shoes
yeah.
and get a DVD set
yeah.
and start just going, well, how do you do this?
Yep.
Because that kind of latitude
mm-hmm.
is what's going to allow you to actually make a living.
Yeah. It's in our blood. You can't get away from it. You know, I was talking about this in the last podcast. People were asking about AI and all of these things. And I said, you know, the problem is it waters everything down so much. It's wonderful on one hand that everybody has a device and everybody can be a filmmaker, everybody can be an author, an artist, what have you. But you have to sift through a lot of stuff to get to the artists. And there's a handful of people that are so gifted, and you are certainly one of them in every capacity of that. And so it's in us and we can't help it. We have to do it. So no matter what, Tom Wilson is going to be performing, doing something.
Well, that's very true. And I think that all performers, all artists of every stripe, especially from now into the future with AI and everything, you have to make peace with the fact that you are a creative being who makes things.
Yeah.
And the outcome of those things, well, it is important because we'd all love to make a living from those things.
Right.
But the ground keeps shifting. Mm-hmm. So all you can do is commit and connect with the making of the things.
Yeah.
And the fact is, I stink at business too. I'm the worst businessman. I don't know how to sell the stuff. I only did my best. So if you could see the things that Tom has tried to the things that have been quote unquote successful in the world's view, man, I'm my batting average is terrible. but you keep trying.
Yeah.
And realize that. And realize that I simply make things because I have to. I'm a creator.
Mm-hmm.
I was a creator when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
A long, long, long time ago, I wasn't really at that much peace with it because it seems like you're weird. You're different from everyone else.
Yeah.
I'm a freak. I don't have friends that are in the glee club and this club or whatever. I'm just an oddball. I don't know what's going on. And it's in almost the middle of your life, or maybe even your 30s, where you say, wait a minute. Oh, I'm an artist. And I just create things, and that's kind of what I do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm about. So I have to just concentrate on this creation. As a person of faith, in the hands of the Creator.
Right.
I'm going to create. And I wish I was more faithful and confident in that, I'll create and that just money will come and I'll buy furniture. Well, that's hard. That's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard. Those steps.
Yes, it is. Well, and say, you know, I like to, people go like, what would you do now with your life? I go, I like doing this podcast because I like sharing with people. I like inspiring people. But the how do you make anything make money? I don't really know that. And so Lord's blessed me enough to be able to get by, and we're very blessed. So I like that my creative endeavors can just be out there. But it would be lovely if it paid the bills more, sure. You know, but
it always would. But I mean, I'm a painter.
Yes.
I always loved painting. My parents would take me to the Philadelphia Museum of Art, one of the world's great art museums. So I always loved it. I didn't do it, but I just began because I loved it so much. So art like that, painting, photography, just the ability to pay attention to things, to look at them closely.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And in any painting or any photograph, you're the director, you're the star, you say what it is, you have the limitations of the photographic frame or the painting, and you say, well, that's what it is. And you can hang it on a wall, or you can lean it up against a wall, or you can burn it, but you're in charge of that creation.
Well, and I'm going to jump back to your film that is now on YouTube, and everybody can see it, and they go to Tom Wilson's YouTube channel and find it and watch it, because you have a lot of beautiful photography in this, and it's yours, and it's, again, the eye that you have for it all is pretty magical. I don't have that gift. I like painting and drawing and sketching, and I do my own thing, but you have a great eye for shadow and substance and context of the story. You can tell a story with a simple snapshot. People should follow you on Instagram, and they should see all that, because you post a lot of beautiful black and white. Do you prefer black and white to color?
I do, not in my painting, certainly.
No.
But it's sort of like I enjoy colorful paintings.
Yeah.
And black and white photography, especially black and white photography of people.
Yeah.
I found it a challenge to photograph people at a fan convention who were cosplaying mm-hmm. or who were there with their family, because there's so much color everywhere that I'm trying to get to the eyes of the person.
Oh.
Okay. I'm trying to get into who they are and how they feel at that moment being there.
Yeah.
And I think black and white brings an abstraction to that image, which whatever's in the black and white shot, you're magnetized into the face of the person.
Man, you're so smart.
And into their eyes.
Check out the big brain on Tom. I see. I always learn stuff when I'm with you. This is why I love this.
Check out the big brain on Tom. So yes, it's very easy. Being color photography and with post production of color photography.
Yeah.
Yes. When you see that person who's cosplaying in a big red outfit, of course, look at all that red. Wow. Take a picture. Yeah. And I did it just like everyone. Mm-hmm. And you get home and you look at them and yes, it's a very red photograph of nothing in particular.
Right. So you're pulling in the focus.
But the black and white photograph where you're getting a little closer to the person and you're trying to get into their head, mm-hmm. that one is compelling.
Well, it's very effective. It's very effective with your eye. You know, not everybody can do that, but I highly recommend people check out your art, check out your Instagram, check out your YouTube channel. And also, like I say, go and buy your book. It's on Amazon. Your book's on Amazon, right? You can get a digital copy.
It is. You can
listen to it for free on your YouTube channel. You see, you're like me. You're just putting stuff out for free on YouTube.
I just got tired of charging people for stuff and trying to make money out of this and that and the other. And so I was like, I'm just putting it out there. Free, everybody. Just take it.
Well, the audiobook I highly recommend, not just because it was recorded in my home studio and I had an amazing time with you doing it, but because it's you telling the story of your life in a beautiful way. And so I highly recommend The Masked Man as well.
This Sammy Maudlin was a character played by Eugene Levy on Second City Television years and years ago. And the Sammy Maudlin show was one of those show business shows where everyone just tells each other how fantastic they are. So let me have a Sammy Maudlin moment to genuinely say that you are a great artist in so many ways, but even more than that, in helping other artists to give them a voice.
I try. Thank you.
Other artists who don't have the technological wherewithal, who don't know where to go or what to do, you've helped thousands, and it's it's a wonderful thing, and people should just know that. You are a great artist and a great supporter of artists, as I've tried to be.
Yeah, well, as the name of your new film, Humbly Super Famous, goes, I will humbly, super famously say thank you. That's very kind of you. But Humbly Super Famous, I love the name. I see a whole T-shirt line.
Yeah.
That'll be your next endeavor. It's just such a joy. You know, I'm spoiled because I get these conversations with you anyways. I just like when we can have them and show everybody what two, you know, humbly super famous guys do when they sit around and talk over a cup of coffee.
Absolutely. Can we do it again?
Yeah, I hope so.
Do you need a sidekick? Yeah. I could do sidekick voices.
Hey, I'm the sidekick from the podcast.
Okay. I can't.
Now, I have to ask because I don't know. So on my show, I always talk about the importance of drinking water. And so I have a big mug of water. I don't know if you have a beverage, Tom, but feel free to enjoy a cool, refreshing beverage if you want. You know.
Okay, I will.
I have water. I talk about the importance of water. Okay. Oh, yeah. Listen to that. Very good. Don't hurt yourself. Well, Tom Wilson, I can't thank you enough for being here on the James Arnold Taylor podcast, which is called Talking to Myself, which is kind of strange because I didn't talk to myself. I talked to Tom Wilson, but here we are.
I hope it was a little bit interesting, James.
I think it was.
So often in podcasting, you know, I begin talking and we all have our inner critic and mine is very, very loud. So I'm telling you about Back to the Future story and there's a voice in my head just going, oh, shut up.
No, it's wonderful. And I think people will love it. you bring a different aspect of all of it too, which is, I think, really the wonderful part of that. And that's why I hope everybody checks out your book and checks out the movie as well. So I'm going to hit stop, and then you and I will continue to talk.
Okay. Thank you, James. Bring me back sometime. I'll have better stories, I swear.
Yeah, sure. Sure. And there it is, my time with Tom Wilson. I hope you enjoyed that. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed listening back to it as I went and put it all together for this podcast, because that's what we did. We recorded it a couple of weeks ago, and then I went off and did a Comic-Con. I was in Richmond, Virginia. For those of you that were in Richmond, Virginia with me, thank you so much. I had a wonderful time. I'll be in South Carolina next, but by the time this comes out, I will have already been in South Carolina, in Greenville, South Carolina, with Ashley. And we will have had a great time with all of you, I'm sure. Been doing a lot of Comic-Cons with a lot of shows, so we're keeping up with it. The movie Hidden Blessings, it may already be out and available for all of you to see by the time this podcast comes out, because I am working on a way to get it up on my Vimeo to where you can buy it or rent it. And we're going to have probably a few different ways. So you could rent it, and then you could just buy the regular movie for one price. You can rent it for another price, and then you can buy the super fantastic special edition that has all the outtakes and the deleted scenes and all of that extra, like over an hour of additional footage that will be at another price. But I'm sure I've already done an episode of the podcast about that, if that's already happened. And if not, it's coming soon, okay? So please join me next time here on the James Arnold Taylor podcast. We're going to have so much more doing. I'm going to answer more of your comments and questions on the Instagram and on YouTube and all the places where you've been leaving comments for me to answer. I'm going to answer more of those soon. We've done so many lately, and I'm excited about that. And I can't wait to do another episode of the James Arnold Taylor podcast coming soon. Cue that legal mumbo jumbo, Mr. Announcer Guy.
Talking to Myself, the James Arnold Taylor Podcast is a production of Yumigo Inc., recorded at Chat Studios. Engineered, written, recorded, and produced by, you guessed it, James Arnold Taylor. All voices are parody and should be construed as entertainment only. All music and sound effects used with permissions and licenses through Backtracks, Digital Juice, Production Tracks, and Partners in Rhyme. James Arnold Taylor's Talking to Myself, the Podcast, copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Thanks, dude.
Later, dude.
Yeah, later, dude. Okay, there he goes. And here we go, taking you off into another week. Just breathe, drink some water, have a good time. You have got this life, okay? I hope this show inspires you. I hope you hear that, you see other people, other actors, other human beings are inspired by the arts and by things that we all do creatively. And whatever you got going on inside of you creatively right now, just go for it, man. Do something every day to be creative if you're a creative type. If you're not, do something every day to encourage the talents and the abilities and the skills that you do within the parts of life that you do. And if you're doing something, I mean, because in my opinion, everything is creative. Everything we do requires some creativity, some movement in our minds in ways that can get us to think farther beyond ourselves. And thank the good Lord above for all of the abilities you've been given to do all of those things. I hope you have a blessed week. God bless you. We love you here at the James Arnold Taylor Podcast, and we will see you again next time. Goodbye.